Hi everyone, welcome back and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas and Bon Appetit, because we've been talking about Christmas foods. He's Pat, I'm Mike, and we're hungry.
That's right.
Yesterday we had Jamie Oliver making us a meal. What did you think of Jamie's meal?
I like the ideas. I mean, the carrots and the orange juice and butter was very interesting.
That was good.
I mean, roast potatoes are fine. Turkey,
always good.
Vegetarian, I can take it or leave it. I will have a different vegetarian food.
That's true. You had the tofu turkey.
Yes, yeah. Or they can do a nut roast.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Fine. That's a nut, my normal Christmas.
Just get a giant nut and
roast it in a fire. Yes.
Wow, interesting.
Yes,
like
now
a
putting
coconut.
Maybe.
Okay.
Putting together a Christmas feast is no easy task.
No.
And there are many cooking shows on TLC where chefs give tips on how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
As we said, we had Jamie Oliver yesterday teaching us about stuffing and making special Christmas cocktails.
Yes.
But today we have another chef who's going to share his Christmas cooking secrets.
Ooh,
let's find out who by reading through today's article.
Reading.
A Very TLC Christmas. Fantastical Christmas. Heston Blumenthal enjoys using scientific methods and odd cooking techniques to give his dishes a special twist. On TLC's Heston's Fantastical Christmas, he brings back the magic of Christmas by reinventing some of Britain's oldest Christmas traditions. To do this, Heston visits food historian Mark Meltonville, who shows Heston how to cook brawn. This traditional dish of boiled pig's head used to be served in place of turkey. Heston isn't interested in cooking brawn in the classical sense, however. First, he cooks the meat and rolls it into balls. Next, when they're set, the balls are covered with gelatin and silver sparkles. The result looks like a shining edible Christmas decoration for the tree. Heston's next challenge is to create a 3-meter-high Victorian-style Christmas pudding, which comes complete with red and green flames. Heston quickly discovers that he's bitten off more than he can chew with this huge project, however. Will Heston complete the pudding in time for the big day? Join him on his fantastical Christmas journey to find out this December.
Okay, the article starts by introducing this chef.
Okay.
It says, Heston Blumenthal, or Blumenthal, I'm not quite sure, enjoys using scientific methods and odd cooking techniques to give his dishes a special twist.
Very interesting.
Now, we wrote about Heston Blumenthal and his kitchen back in October's issue of For You, so you can learn more about him if you go and read the October issue. He uses scientific techniques, which is quite unusual
in
for
the
a
kitchen
chef.
And in not in kitchen, a science lab.
Not in a science lab. He's using science on food.
Okay.
Now the word scientific is spelled S-C-I-E-N-T-I-F-I-C, scientific, and it means involving or related to science. Okay. Sometimes cooking is just kind of, I think that's right, or about 20 minutes, or try and put this much in, but he's using real science, exact numbers, measurements, temperatures, he's really working the science. We could also say many scientific studies have shown that the Earth is getting hotter every year. Now that's a scientific study. Here we're talking about a scientific technique.
That's right, a technique. T-E-C-H-N-I-Q-U-E. I'll spell that again, it's tricky. T-E-C-H, tech, N-I-N-I-Q-U-E-K, technique. Technique. There you go. It's basically a certain way of doing something. If you've ever had a class learning how to do something a little bit difficult, maybe driving, cooking, playing golf, playing tennis, the coach, the teachers, the trainers will give you techniques. You don't just watch a YouTube video and learn how to do it. No, it's a little more complicated than that. So they'll show you special steps, methods, or styles of doing things, and these will be your techniques that you will do when doing that activity. activity if it's cooking, driving, or playing tennis. And we also talked about a twist, but first I should mention, we have an example sentence. There are a number of different techniques for making coffee.
Yeah, there are. True. You can make it in many different ways.
Yeah.
Now, a twist here, it's an unexpected twist on food. Twist is spelled T-W-I-S-T.
Mm-hmm.
And when we use twist in this way, we mean a new and usually unexpected way of doing something or an unexpected way in which something develops.
That's right.
It's like a surprise. Strange variation.
Mm.
For example, an author could write about traditional fairy tale characters, but give them a modern twist.
Ah, okay.
Snow White in New York.
Right.
Sleeping Beauty in World War II.
With a cell phone.
Exactly.
Or something
that
like
would
that.
That would be a twist.
Okay, and we get a little bit of that idea from the title. It says on TLC's Heston's Fantastical Christmas, he brings back the magic of Christmas by reinventing some of Britain's oldest Christmas traditions.
Ooh.
There you go. Fantastical means sort of incredible, amazing, or wonderful. Very, very surprising. So to do this, Heston visits food historian Mark Meltonville, who shows Heston how to cook brawn.
Wow,
that's a very old style of food. And when you want to learn about old things, you might want to go and talk to a historian.
Yep, that's right. Historian is spelled H-I-S-T-O-R-I-A-N. Historian. And a historian is a person whose job or special interest is the study of history.
Ah.
So a professional historian might write books or make TV shows and do research. Or you could be an amateur historian and just know a lot about history. For example, the woman who works in the library is a local historian. She knows everything about the history of this town.
Wow. So she might teach classes, as you say, write books, lead tour groups.
Or just tell people.
Or tell people lots of interesting stories from the past.
Okay. Now, this historian is telling Heston Blumenthal how to make Brawn.
Yes.
Okay. Now, brawn, B-R-A-W-N, is meat from a pig or a baby cow's head.
Okay.
That's kind of cooked and pressed into a pot with jelly. Now, I was recently in your part of the world, Canada.
Oh, yes.
And in the United States,
yes.
I think both countries use head cheese.
Head cheese.
To mean the same thing.
Basically, yes. That's exactly
head
what
meat
you would
in a bit of jelly.
Expect to find. It would be a block. It would look like a clear yellowish jelly, often called aspic, A-S-P-I-C, and in it are tiny little pieces of meat, what looks like little cubes of ham or pork or something like that, and then you slice it, and you eat it kind of like that, often with cheese, maybe
on
some bread, with some butter. It can actually be quite delicious, but you just kind of have to get past what it looks like.
Yeah.
But as the article says, it says this traditional dish of boiled pig's head used to be served in place of turkey.
Okay.
Remember, turkey came from the Americas.
That's
so before Christopher Columbus, people in Europe didn't have turkey, so they used to eat brawn
or pig, roast ham. Now, this is boiled, so they cook it in boiling water.
Hot water.
Roast it like we did a turkey.
Right.
Okay. Now, we used used to here. People used to eat it. That means that something happened regularly before, but doesn't anymore. Okay. For example, I used to play badminton a lot, but I haven't played in years.
Really? You were too good.
No one would play me anymore.
No one would
just,
play
I could play them with my left hand and on one leg, and I would just win all the time.
Oh, so you used to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. And they used to serve this brawn in place of turkey. In place of, this phrase basically means instead of, replacing one thing with another. So, for example, you know, you like to have milk with your dinner, but there's no milk, so you drank some apple juice in place of a glass of milk. You replace the apple juice with milk. For example, we could say a vegetarian Christmas dinner might have a pie or nut roast in place of a turkey. So
it's
instead of a turkey, you can have something else.
I'll have all the other stuff, the roast vegetables and the sauce and the stuffing, just no turkey.
What about the gravy?
No, usually not.
Yeah,
but there you go.
Meat
juice,
yeah.
Now, Heston, the chef, he isn't interested in cooking brawn in the classical sense, however. Okay. So he doesn't want to do it the way that it used to be done in the past. Okay? Mm-hmm. He's not just going, how did they do it 100 years ago? That's what I'll do.
Do the same
okay?
thing.
Because he doesn't want to use the classical way.
Hmm.
Classical is spelled C-L-A-S-S-I-C-A-L. Classical. And it refers to, firstly, something of a high standard,
mm-hmm.
kind of high class.
Possibly,
yeah, sure. Usually a pretty good way of doing something,
yeah.
which has been in use for a long time.
Mm.
The most obvious example of this is classical music.
Oh, yeah.
Very kind of high-class music, very popular music, but of a few hundred years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best of that kind of music. For example, my father listens to a lot of classical music by Mozart and Bach and other artists like that.
There you go. So how is Heston Blumenthal going to do it in a different, newer way? Well, it says first, he cooks the meat and rolls it into balls.
Okay.
Like so he gets all those little bits of meat, rolls them into a ball of meat, mm-hmm. or a meatball.
Yeah.
Next, it says when they set, when it sort of cools down and becomes a
solid shape,
ball,
yeah.
the balls are covered with gelatin and silver particles.
Sparkles.
Silver sparkles. So they're going to be covered in gelatin. Gelatin is basically this sort of tasteless jelly that is often used when making things, different types of food. Gelatin generally comes from boiling down a lot of the different parts of the animal and using that resulting substance or
jelly.
Ingredient, the jelly, to mix with other things. And, of course, it can be made sweet when we think of jelly babies or, you know, jelly bears or something like that, gummy bears.
Mm-hmm.
That's a type of jelly as well. It says Haribo Gold Bears are made with gelatin and fruit. And if you take gelatin and meat, you can make something kind of like brawn or head cheese.
Yeah.
But here, he's adding silver sparkles.
Yeah, a sparkle is something shiny. It's usually silver or gold. It reflects the light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are made of sugar and food coloring, so you can eat them. So he kind of makes these very small, very shiny things up, covers the meat with it, and if you then see, it'll sparkle.
Kind of like a Christmas ornament.
Exactly. Now, for example, Tina puts sparkles on her cupcakes to make them look prettier.
That's right. You often
kind of
use
cake
sparkles
decoration.
With baking cakes,
yes.
cupcakes, things like that. So the result, when Heston finishes, it says the result looks like a shining, edible Christmas decoration for the tree.
Just like you said.
Something you might hang on your Christmas tree, a silver ball, but this is something that you can eat. If it's something you can eat, we can use the adjective edible, E-D-I-B-L-E. If it's edible, it means you can eat it. It's not bad for you. It is food, basically. And we're talking about edible decorations.
That's right. Which you get on a lot of cakes and special fancy cakes.
Yeah.
Decorations are something used to make other things look prettier.
Hmm.
So, like we said, the balls on the Christmas tree, candles on a cake sort of thing. Paper lanterns are used as decorations during
festivals. A big sign that says happy birthday at a party.
Yeah. Now, I remember when I was very young, my mum made me a big cake that was like a slide going around a hill. And the decorations were ice cream cones with jelly babies that looked like they were sliding down.
Oh, how fun.
So those were decorations, but they were also edible.
Right. Very, very cool. So yes, as you mentioned, paper lanterns can be great decorations. Well, Heston's next challenge is a big challenge, literally. It says his next challenge is to create a 3 meter high, that's right, 3 meter high Victorian style Christmas pudding.
Twice as big as me.
Twice as big as you, as tall as a room, basically. Victorian style Christmas pudding, which comes complete with red and green flames.
Ooh.
Wow, this is going to be the world's biggest dessert.
Yes.
And we know it's from history because it says it's Victorian style. When we say it's something style, that something is often some period or name from history. Queen Victoria was Queen of England from, 1849 to 1901 or something like that. She was a long-reigning queen. When you think of Sherlock Holmes, the classic stories, that was in the Victorian times. When
Charles Dickens,
people rode horses and smoked pipes and men wore top hats. So this is from 150 years ago or so.
Okay, so that's Victorian style, and it comes complete with flames.
Wow.
If something comes complete with something, it includes it, because without this thing, it would not be complete. And what this one comes complete with is flames.
Flames, F-L-A-M-E.
M-E. Basically, this noun means a piece of fire. If you light a candle, there will be one flame coming out of the top. A big fire, like a campfire, will have many flames. So those little bits of fire, we call those flames.
For burning example, gas is what
burning gas. Flames poured out of the windows of the burning building.
Okay, now Heston quickly discovers that he's bitten off more than he can chew with this huge project, however. Now, to bite off more than one can chew is today's shortcut for you, so let's watch the video and find out more.
Shortcut for you.
Hold on,
let me help you. What is all this stuff?
I told my roommate I would keep some of the stuff. Also, I have to do a science project for my whole group. And I need to teach my cousin how to play volleyball. And
sounds like you bit off more than you can chew.
Bit off more than I can chew? I haven't even had time to eat today.
To bite off more than you can chew means to take on more tasks than you can complete.
I got it. Bite off more than you can chew is 自不量力, 贪多嚼不烂.
That's right. You have way too much to do. You really bit off more than you can chew.
I know, but what can I do?
Tell them you're busy. Say you have dinner plans or something.
Oh no, that reminds me. I told my friends I would cook dinner for them.
You might have bitten off more than you can chew, but at least you'll finally eat today.
So here's our big question. Will Heston complete the pudding in time for the big day? It's 3 meters tall,
I think. Huge
pudding. He has a lot of cooking to do. Okay. So join him on his fantastical Christmas journey to find out this December. Yeah. And if you want the more classic Christmas, remember Jamie Oliver.
Yep.
Also, so many styles of Christmas dinner for you to enjoy.
Okay, now that is the end of the article, but we're not quite done because it's now time for our For You chat question.
Okay.
For You Chat.
Okay, so our For You Chat question is about holiday traditions. Many big holidays, from Christmas to Chinese New Year, have a lot of traditions, and families will have different traditions.
Yeah.
So, Pat, what are some holiday traditions, maybe Christmas traditions, from the UK, from your family?
Well, I don't know if it's the UK, but what my family likes to do, we normally celebrate it with my cousins, so there could be maybe 10 people in the house.
Yeah.
When we go downstairs in the morning, we're allowed one look in the room where all the Christmas presents are under the tree.
One look?
Just one quick look.
Okay.
We have to guess how many presents there are. Everybody writes down their number, and as the presents are brought out, they are counted, and whoever was closest gets a little special gift
that's,
you know, kind of saved on the tree, just a little treat. So it's just a bit of fun that we do to count, to guess, you know, just to add something fun to the Christmas day.
And did you ever win the, guess the right number?
It's my dad every year. I don't know why we bother playing.
I bet he sneaks down earlier and counts.
No, he's just too intelligent.
Really?
He's smart.
He's got very quick eyes.
Okay, well, that's our tradition.
Yeah,
what are
one.
Some of yours for Chinese New Year or Dragon Boat or Moon Festival or any other holiday traditions that your family has? Have a talk about it. Thanks for watching us today for English for You. I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
Merry Christmas to you all and a Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
A very TLC Christmas. Fantastical Christmas. Heston Blumenthal enjoys using scientific methods and odd cooking techniques to give his dishes a special twist. On TLC's Heston's Fantastical Christmas, he brings back the magic of Christmas by reinventing some of Britain's oldest Christmas traditions. To do this, Heston visits food historian Mark Meltonville, who shows Heston how to cook brawn. This traditional dish of boiled pig's head used to be served in place of turkey. Heston isn't interested in cooking brawn in the classical sense, however. First, he cooks the meat and rolls it into balls. Next, when they're set, the balls are covered with gelatin and silver sparkles. The result looks like a shining edible Christmas decoration for the tree. Heston's next challenge is to create a 3-meter-high Victorian-style Christmas pudding, which comes complete with red and green flames. Heston quickly discovers that he's bitten off more than he can chew with this huge project, however. Will Heston complete the pudding in time for the big day? Join him on his fantastical Christmas journey to find out this December.
Vocabulary Review. Scientific. Many scientific studies have shown that smoking is bad for our health. Technique. The artist's special painting techniques really make his work stand out. Twist. The movie had a surprising twist at the end. Historian. After studying many ancient cultures in college, Greg decided to become a historian. Classical. The preparation of the meal may have been familiar and classical, but it still tasted delicious. Flame. The mother warned her son not to touch the flames of the fire.